The Return of the Living Dead. Zombie films are pretty much a dime a dozen these days, and there have been so many takes on it that it can be hard to find something original to do with them. We've had bleak zombie films, heroic ones, post-apocalyptic ones, comedic ones, romantic ones, and everything in between. One of the most unique, however, is The Return of the Living Dead from 1985. John Russo, who co-wrote Night of the Living Dead with George Romero, wrote a novel titled Return of the Living Dead to take the series in a different direction than Romero. It eventually ended up in the hands of Dan O'Bannon, who wanted to rewrite the script to make it radically different from Romero's Dead movies. What we got then is certainly wildly different. A punk rock, comedic, and over-the-top zombie movie that has stood the test of time. Let's take a look. The film begins on July 3rd, 1984, at a medical supply warehouse in Louisville, Kentucky. After hours, foreman Frank shows new employee Freddy around, instructing him in how to pack away skeletons for shipment off to a hospital. Freddy asks where they get all these skeletons from, to which Frank says that because of an international treaty, all skeletons come from India, and jokes that he thinks that there's a skeleton farm over there. He continues to show him a number of dogs split in half, as well as their supply of fresh cadavers, with Freddy clearly interested in all of the morbid material. Elsewhere, Freddy's friends, including his girlfriend Tina, decide to head over to the warehouse to pick Freddy up, as he always knows a place to party. Freddy asks Frank what the weirdest thing he ever saw here was, and Frank replies by asking him if he ever saw the film Night of the Living Dead, telling him that that movie was based on a real case. Back in 1969, in the VA hospital in Pittsburgh, there was a chemical spill of 2,4-5-trioxin, which leaked down into the morgue and caused all of the bodies down there to reanimate. The company that made the chemical was developing it for military use, and apparently told George Romero that if he told the true story, they'd sue him, so he had to change the facts around. The army shut the hospital down and shipped all of the contaminated dirt and dead bodies out, covering the entire thing up. Freddy asks how he knows about it then, and Frank tells him that it was a typical army screw-up, with the transportation department getting the orders mixed up, shipping the bodies to this warehouse instead of the chemical company. Freddy is clearly unnerved, but Frank asks him if he wants to see the corpses, as they're down in the basement. The two excitedly go down, and Frank shows Freddy several sealed containers that are labeled as property of the army, with an emergency phone number on them. They look through a glass window on one of them, showing a preserved corpse inside, and Freddy asks if these containers leak at all. Frank exclaims that, of course not, as they're made by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, before banging on the side of it to demonstrate. Of course, this causes the container to begin spewing out a gas, sending the two into coughing fits before they collapse on the ground. The corpse inside of the container proceeds to rapidly dissolve as the gas disperses into the ventilation system of the warehouse. The cadavers in storage begin to twitch and move, reanimated by the chemical. Elsewhere, a military officer, Colonel Glover, arrives home, and his wife complains about all of the communications equipment in their home. Glover angrily says that they have to be able to reach him 24 hours a day until they find them, alluding to the missing bodies from the incident years ago. Freddy's friends arrive outside of the warehouse, where Tina now informs them that Freddy won't be off work for a couple of hours, so they instead decide to hang out in the nearby cemetery until then. Frank and Freddy eventually come to, wearily rising to their feet, and they look inside of the container to see the body missing. Frank surmises that it must have melted when an air hit it, and the two stumble away, coughing and vomiting, before heading back upstairs. While recovering, they hear a dog, and they find one of the split dogs on the ground, panting. Terrified, Frank begins beating it with a stick, but they soon hear a cadaver pounding on the storage room door, so they quickly lock it in. The two begin panicking, as Frank realizes that the chemical has reanimated the corpses here. But when Freddy suggests calling the cops, Frank exclaims that they can't, as it'll hurt the company and their reputation. Freddy then suggests calling the emergency number that was on the tanks, but Frank says that that's even worse, as that's the army. Frank instead says that they're going to call their boss, Bert, and tell him that they have a little problem. In the cemetery, as the group begins to drink and smoke, one of them, Trash, gets aroused by the setting and proceeds to strip off her clothes and dance on a sarcophagus. I, of course, cannot show you any of this. At the warehouse, Bert arrives and berates Frank, saying that now he's going to be investigated by the army, sued by the chemical company, and probably go to jail. On the other hand, if they destroy all the evidence and keep their mouths shut, they might be okay. They're going to have to kill the reanimated cadaver, and Bert brings up Night of the Living Dead again, saying that they just destroyed their brains to do it. Bert gives Frank a pickaxe, telling Freddy to open the door so he can hit it, but Frank is terrified and doesn't think he can do it. Bert urges Freddy to open the door, and when he finally does so, the cadaver rushes out, shouting for brains, and tackles Bert. They manage to pull it off, and Bert slams the pickaxe into its skull, but this only causes the cadaver to begin flailing and screaming. Bert then grabs a bone saw and severs the head off completely, but the cadaver then stands and begins moving around wildly while the head continues to be animated. The three manage to grab the corpse and tie it down, with Freddy crying out that the movie lied. Bert then says that they're going to have to destroy the body completely, possibly with acid, but then suggests that the embalmer at the mortuary across the street, Ernie, sometimes works late and has a crematorium. Freddy asks how they're going to get it over there, causing Bert to pause before asking for the bone saw. In the cemetery, the group continues to wait, with one of them spotting Freddy and the other two hauling a stretcher into a mortuary, but another dismisses it. Bert meets with Ernie, and initially beats around the bush, before casually asking him for a favor, as they've been friends for about 25 years. He brings in Frank and Freddy, who show Ernie a number of sealed bags that are twitching. Bert tells him that these are rabid weasels, which came in as a shipment and weren't supposed to be rabid, and he wants Ernie to burn them. Ernie tells him to just call an animal shelter, but Bert says if word got out, it would hurt his business, so he just needs to trust him and do this. Ernie states that it's too cruel to just burn animals alive, and suggests taking them out back and shooting them first, forcing Bert to reveal the truth, swearing Ernie to secrecy. He opens a bag, showing an animated, severed arm, which proceeds to grab Ernie's ankle before they recontain it. Ernie is rightfully shocked, but they sit him down and tell him the whole story. As the time approaches for Freddy to get off work, Tina decides to head over to the warehouse alone to wait for him, ringing the bell but getting no response. Ernie is willing to help out, but says that Bert is going to owe him big. They proceed to toss all of the wiggling bags into the crematorium, turning the heat up to make sure that there's nothing left over, but the fumes from the corpses proceed to vent out of the chimney into the air, just as it begins to rain. The rain sends the group in the cemetery scrambling for cover, as the chemical begins seeping into the ground, and they comment on how the rain feels like acid. Bert and Ernie are glad to see that the corpses are entirely burnt up, but Frank and Freddy are visibly extremely ill. They tell Bert what happened when they hit the canister, and Ernie proceeds to call for an ambulance to take them to the hospital, saying that they've been poisoned. Outside, the corpses in the graveyard begin to rise out of their graves, as Tina wanders around the empty warehouse, calling for Freddy. She finds his hat on the ground and proceeds into the basement, where she's approached by an animated corpse covered in a thick brown substance. She screams and runs up the stairs, only for one of the steps to break. She runs and locks herself in a closet, preventing the corpse from getting to her, but it proceeds to use a chain and a winch to pull the door open. Her friends, having left their car to run into the warehouse, hear Tina screaming and rush downstairs. One of them is quickly surprised and grabbed by the zombie, who bites into his head, killing him as the rest of the group flees. Meanwhile, two paramedics arrive at the mortuary and inspect the gravely ill men, noting that they can't seem to hear any heartbeats coming from them, and they have no pulse. The group of friends bar the basement door and run back to the cemetery, where they see corpses coming out of the graves, causing them to panic and split up, as one of them falls down and gets devoured. The paramedics admit that they have no idea what's wrong with Frank and Freddy, as they show all signs of being dead, but obviously dead people don't move around and talk. They're interrupted by three of Freddy's friends pounding on the mortuary door, and after being let in, they exclaim that there's dead people out there that came out of the ground. Two of the other friends that got separated run back to the warehouse while being chased by zombies, crying out for their brains, which is overheard by the paramedics who stepped outside, and they're soon attacked by a mob of the undead. Bert and Ernie are told that there's hundreds of zombies out there, and they decide to try and use the ambulance to drive out of here. Ernie rushes outside, seeing the ambulance doors wide open, and soon notices the undead, running back inside. He tries to call the police, but the phone lines are all down, and the zombies start to try to break in, forcing the group to barricade the doors and windows. While devouring one of the paramedics' brains, a zombie hears dispatch on the ambulance's radio, and it proceeds to grab the radio, telling dispatch to send more paramedics. The group finishes boarding up the place, and Freddy's friends demand Bert at knife point to tell them what happened, forcing him to explain. Freddy says that he's freezing and his muscles are stiffening up, prompting Ernie to examine his back and finding evidence of rigor mortis. They then hear another ambulance approaching outside and see two more paramedics get immediately ambushed by the zombies. More zombies start breaking through the windows, managing to grab one of the group and bite into his head, killing him. Ernie captures one of the zombies in the process and ties it up for examination. Ernie talks to the zombie, who tells him that they eat brains because of the pain of being dead. It can feel itself rotting, but when it eats brains, it makes the pain go away. Bert says that they can't kill these things, as they're not alive, so their only option is to burn them down to ashes. They're really not sure how to go about doing that, however, but in the meantime, Bert says that they should lock up Freddy and Frank in the chapel, just in case, despite Tina's objections. While moving the two, they both scream in agony, and Tina insists on staying with Freddy in the chapel as they lock the door. Two police officers then arrive to investigate the missing paramedics, finding the area to be quiet and noticing a dead paramedic before the zombies swarm out and kill them. Another zombie gets on the police radio and tells dispatch to send more cops. Bert, Ernie, and the last of Freddy's friends, Spider, discuss their options. Ernie suggests barricading themselves in the mortuary's crawl space, but Spider says that he'd rather take his chances with the cars, so Ernie instead suggests using nitric acid to fight back. Freddy tells Tina that it hurts more than she can imagine, before pausing, and says that he finally sees the one thing that can relieve this horrible suffering. Live brains. He promptly attacks her, leaping to his feet and chasing her around the chapel. The others hear her screams and rush in, beating Freddy down and throwing nitric acid in his face before carrying Tina out. Freddy starts breaking through the chapel door, and Ernie breaks his foot in the scuffle. Bert decides that he and Spider will get the police car and bring it near the door so Tina and Ernie can rush out, and they emerge from the building into a crowd of zombies. They beat a few back to clear a space, making it to the car and driving it up to the door, but they're completely surrounded by undead, forcing them to drive away instead. Bert insists that they're going to send help for them, but Spider yells at him, calling him a coward. Bert tries to drive away, but gets blocked by another horde of zombies, so he drives back towards the warehouse, crashing the car and forcing the two to run in, where they meet up with the two that ran into the warehouse before. Freddy continues rampaging through the mortuary, so Ernie and Tina climb up into the crawl space, as Freddy continually taunts her that he's going to get up there to eat her brains. Frank, meanwhile, realizing his imminent fate, fires up the crematorium and climbs in, screaming in agony as he's burned alive. The police have now realized that something major is going on, sending multiple squad cars, but all of the reinforcements are quickly swarmed. A police chopper announces that anyone wishing to surrender should make their way to the perimeter. Bert says that they need a phone, but the others inform him that a zombie tore out the main phone, and there's a real ugly one in the basement where the other phone is. Bert grabs a baseball bat, insisting that they need to get to that phone, and they unblock the door. Upon doing so, the original corpse from the canister emerges, covered in a viscous fluid, and Bert promptly knocks its head clean off. They push the corpse to the ground and move into the basement, where Bert uses the phone to call the police. A police captain takes the call, and Bert tries to tell him that they've got to get them out of there, but the police are interrupted by a horde of zombies charging down the street. They try to hold them off, but are hopelessly outmatched, and Bert listens over the phone as they're devoured. He hangs up, noticing the emergency number listed on the canister, and dials it in. He's soon transferred to Colonel Glover, who calmly takes down the details from Bert about the situation, thanking him for his assistance. Glover then heads over to his communications equipment, calling up his superior and telling him that it seems they've found their lost consignment of Easter eggs. It would be good news, but the eggs have hatched. Bert is told by someone else that they've been waiting for this to happen, and they have a contingency plan to deal with it, which the group takes as very good news. A sergeant with the 42nd Special Mobile Artillery then gets a phone call and is told a series of code numbers and coordinates. A nuclear missile is then promptly fired, detonating at the warehouse and wiping out 20 square blocks. Glover informs his superior that it was very close to optimal placement, with less than 4,000 dead, and he wouldn't worry about the fires, as the rain is taking care of that. He does mention that there's been some complaints of burning skin, but it's minor, and all should be back to normal by the morning for the president's visit to the area. The movie ends with more corpses rising from the graves nearby as the rain disperses the chemical across the region. The Return of the Living Dead is definitely not a movie that takes itself too seriously, making for a very enjoyable experience from start to finish. Despite the humor, though, it presents an incredibly terrifying scenario, with zombies that are intelligent, fast, and practically impossible to put down for good. In many ways, though, the situation is even worse for the zombies, who are apparently in constant, pure agony, and are only relieved if they manage to get a hold of live brains. It seems pretty clear that the situation would very quickly lead to a full-blown apocalypse, but the four sequels to this film don't go in that direction, instead continuing the premise of localized incidents. The less said about them, the better. But The Return of the Living Dead is absolutely a classic that exudes an 80s atmosphere, and while there have been countless zombie movies since its release, none have matched its punk rock vibes and humorous charm.